So many times in life, our hearts are not in what we're doing, right? So when I was in high school, I hated chemistry class. Science was not my forte. I'm good at English and history. So I struggled to maintain a good grade in that class. But you know, I mean, as I reflect back on it now, I realize I struggled because I didn't put much effort into my chemistry, of course. So when I was in high school, I ran cross country, was in the marching band, and worked at a grocery store. So these activities naturally consumed my entire week. The only free day that I had was Sunday, yet it wasn't until 10:30 at night each Sunday that I chose to begin my chemistry homework for the week. Not advisable. And I clearly didn't find it that important to find a better time to do this homework. And neither, of course, were my morals on this matter stellar. So this is a do not do as Father Brian once did story. I don't approve of this. So for example, I'd rush through my assignments in order to go to bed sooner, and many times I'd just make up answers simply because I didn't want to do the chemistry formula. And even worse, I even cheated and wrote answers that I thought would be on my exam on the back of my calculator so that I could use them on the test. Shame, shame. Do not do that. We have confession for that. So, consequently, I received a C on my report card in chemistry class that year, to which my parents were not thrilled. In fact, I believe they grounded me, as is right and just, mind you. In fact, I think I was grounded in all of high school. Now, you see, my heart had not been in that class, and consequently, my education suffered because of it. Now, in our gospel this morning, our Lord has a tense interaction with the Pharisees, a group of Jewish elitists who followed strict observances of the traditional and written law. Now, to be clear, our Lord did not challenge the Pharisees in today's passage because they were being overly scrupulous about obeying the law. No, he was upset with them because they actually disregarded God's commandments, clinging instead to their own traditions. So they had added to the law of Moses certain customs, like washing their hands before every meal, and became fixated on them to the detriment of not following many of the actual laws of Moses, such as justice, mercy, and faith. Now, our Lord wanted to call the Pharisees back from a fixation on these external observances to focus on the heart of the law. Now, our Lord told them that it was the interior act of the soul, that which comes out of the heart, and not what exteriorly happens to the body that actually defiles or profanes a person in the sight of God. Now, it was more important to eliminate the bad interior acts and then the exterior acts that fall from them out of their lives than it was to observe time-honored cultural customs like the wash of hands before a meal. Our Lord then lists several evil acts of the soul which distance a person from God. Sins they were clearly conveniently ignoring. You see, he was calling them to examine their consciences and focus on the sins that they were actually committing instead of focusing on human traditions that really had no real moral value. Their hearts were not truly into following the law. Our Lord did not come to dumb down moral law or give permission for everyone to do as he or she likes, provided that they believe in him. No, our Lord was quite clear about the seriousness of sin and clearly identifies its source, the human heart. So how does this apply to us today in modern day? Well, as I've mentioned before, there has been a phenomena that's begun to occur over the last few decades. The loss of a sense of sin. Pope St. John Paul II, as well as Pope Francis in recent years, have talked about the loss of the sense of sin in our modern society. So it's this concept that we merely see certain erroneous choices as, you know, regretful actions, wrong actions, but not ones that actually affect our friendship with our God. Further, like the Pharisees, other actions that are wrong that we commit are not even on our purview, We're not aware of it. Yet, as we should know, sin deprives us of the true fulfillment for which we were created. And oftentimes, we don't even realize it. You see, we can't find the fulfillment for which our hearts are ultimately longing for while we're seriously sinning, even if ignorantly, because the grave actions, even if we don't recognize them, hold us back from the fulfillment we were created for. That's what sin secretly does. Only by recognizing and acknowledging that we do sin will we recognize that there is more to this life than meets the eye. More to life than simply our looks, careers, friendships, our goals. For by recognizing our sin, we ultimately recognize that we are meant to be with God in heaven, where there is no sadness or pain or sin. And we will recognize that sin draws us away from that goal and prevents authentic fulfillment in this life. Now, it should also be noted that our faults and failures are never too big for our Lord. He sees beyond them and wants us to come to Him in our brokenness. Okay, so you might be wondering, why is Father focusing so much on sin today? What a Debbie Downer. Well, because it is only by acknowledging our sins that we can actually encounter the merciful love of the Father, the merciful and healing love of Christ, that we can find meaning in our lives, that we can actually be who we were created to be. We are not meant to obsess over our sins, but to strive to abandon and combat the very sins we frequently commit. When we fight sin in our lives, we are able to be free from the drama, mediocrity, and misery that our sins unwittingly cause us, the hurt they cause us, the sadness they cause us. We can realize that we are not the sum total of our weaknesses and failures, but the sum total of our Father's love for us, and are capable of becoming a living image of His Son in this life. We become holy. We become at peace. You see, peace replaces restlessness when our lives are directed toward God. Now, the ordinary way that Christ has provided for us to obtain peace is through His sacraments, particularly the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of penance. Yet, this sacrament is not used as often as it should be by any of us. Why? Well, I think it's because we're embarrassed to talk about our sins to someone else, or we'd rather go straight to God, or perhaps it's because we haven't been for a long time, we don't remember how to go, or it's simply not a habit to go other than during Lent or Advent, or maybe because we're just prideful. Yet all of these excuses are weak. They pale in comparison to what our Lord desires of us. And so we must ask ourselves, when was the last time we went to confession? Has it been years? If you have not been to confession in months, well then, this homily is for you. We can all make excuses in the world not to go to confession, but it only hurts us in the long run. Confession is meant to free us. If we do not receive God's mercy in His sacrament regularly, we'll most likely only remain in the mediocrity in which we live, or even remain spiritually dead, cut off from heavenly glory one day because of mortal sins in our soul that are unconfessed. Now remember, right, there are two types of sins. There's the venial, the lesser sins, and mortal, grave sins. Venial sins, they hurt our relationship with God, but mortal sins actually break it, causing eternal separation from God in hell. And as we should be aware, for a sin to be mortal, it must be serious, be freely consented to, and the person must have had full knowledge that it is a serious sin before committing it. The list that our Lord went over today are mortal sins. Now, each time we go to confession, it's like a spiritual New Year's resolution where we commit to starting over and living a better life. But it's different than most New Year's resolutions of going to the gym, where we actually have the spiritual aid of God to fulfill our resolution of fighting sin in our lives. I mean, sure, it's going to be difficult at first to show up, especially if we don't remember how to go to confession. But you know what? Okay. God will be there to help us. And then we will be transformed. We are given a new life in the sacrament of penance and emerge ready to give back ourselves to Christ in a new way through the bestowal of mercy in the sacrament. Our emptiness of our sinfulness is exposed and shattered, and we emerge a new person, a free person, ready to start life again. A tremendous burden is lifted from our hearts each time we go to confession, especially when we confess sins that have been on our hearts for years. In the midst of the uncertainties in our nation, when many are struggling with faith, now is not the time to remain mediocre, but the time to renew our faith and strive to live it deeper. Yet in order to do all this, we must first be willing to examine our hearts beyond surface level, beyond our exterior everyday lives. We must set up a spiritual plan in our lives to go to confession. I personally recommend going at least once a month, and confession times are offered here 6 days a week. And besides, you can always make an appointment with Father Freddy or myself. Similar to how the Pharisees' hearts were not in following God's laws, I did not deserve good grades in chemistry class because my heart was not in it. Likewise, we cannot receive the peace our Lord desires to give us unless our heart is fully in trying to live for our Lord, which means changing, which means fighting the sin in our lives. In our lives, we can choose to focus simply on our physical lives. That will eventually end. Or we can choose to focus on our spiritual life as well, which is far more important. And so on this 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, we should be asking ourselves, what is holding us back from examining our conscience and receiving God's mercy and confession more often? Amen.